there is. $14 billion under California's table just waiting for us to be picking it up. All we have to do is regulate, control, and tax cannabis, or marijuana, or weed, bud, ganja, kaya, Mary Jane, goofbud, or whatever name it goes by in your neighborhood. But wait, before we cash in on this dream, we should pause to ask, what will happen to the money when cannabis becomes legal?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 702nd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Puerto Montt who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
And co-pilot Marlene Olson sitting in on the show today. Hello, Marlene.
Hello, and good morning.
Folks, the cannabis gold rush is on again, but this time the gold is cannabis green. Individual plants, which can be grown in the basement of the family home, can be sold for a couple thousand dollars each. And thus, the industry of those plants has grown to $14 billion per year in California alone, give or take. But the trouble with all that money is that it's under the table and not reachable by officialdom, for the simple reason that it's illegal. Consequently, there is now a proposition, 19 by number, on the table to regulate, control, and tax cannabis, and thus make all that money that is now unreachable, reachable. This proposition leads us to ask, what will happen to the money when cannabis becomes legal? Here to help us cultivate an answer, we have some Proposition 19 folks. We'll start with James Rigdon, who is yes on 19. James, I understand you're the field supervisor for 19.
Yes, sir.
Now, does that mean you're out in the field?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Got a kind of a fuzzy connection. Yes, on 19, you're a field supervisor. What does that mean?
It means I direct outreach and coordinate volunteers, citizens across the nation who are making contact with voters.
Across the nation? Does it mean that this Proposition 19 is going across the nation as well as just here in California?
No, it just takes effect in California, but we do have volunteers across the nation who are very interested in getting this passed. They've seen the price the drug war has borne on all of us, and they're ready to make steps, even if it's not going to directly affect them just yet.
Fair enough. James, what do you do when you're not yesing on 19?
I sleep.
Asleep?
That's about it.
Okay, good enough. And let me ask you this, we always ask, who pays the way on Yes on 19? Who's the financial people behind Yes on 19?
We've got contributors across the board. We've been a grassroots campaign from the very start. The very strong majority of our donors have just donated $50, $100, $200.
So you're not getting some kind of big support from some big corporation or something like that then?
Not from any major corporations, no. We've had some pretty big donors. For example, the founder of Napster wrote us a very generous check a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that. About $1 million or something like that?
I believe it was $70,000, but I don't deal with it.
$70,000? Well, that's a chunk of change.
Yeah, and we've had some major donors, but by and large, it's an individual grassroots effort.
Good enough. Also, we're looking for Roger Salazar. Maybe that's him calling in right now, who is on the no on the legalization. Could you describe what the... good, here he is. Let's pick him up right now. Let's see. Roger, are you there?
Yes.
Good. Welcome to the Food Chain. Glad to have you aboard on the other line. We have the yes on 19, James Rigdon, and you're no on 19, right?
That's correct.
And what do you do when you're not knowing on 19?
We work on a bunch of campaigns up and down the state.
Fair enough. And who is, we always ask, as we have Jim, who's the financial money behind No on 19? Who does not want it to be passed?
Well, we've got the California Police Chiefs Association, the California Narcotics Officers Association, the California Chamber of Commerce, and the Association of California School Administrators. That's the principals and superintendents of schools up and down the state. And we also have some funding from a number of individuals and other businesses as well.
Good enough. Let me ask you the big question right off the top. Why was cannabis made illegal in 1937, James?
Cannabis was made illegal in 1937 in part to protect the newly legalized or being legalized alcohol industry, which is also why the alcohol industry, by and large, though not all of them, have come out strongly against Proposition 19. It's a profit initiative. It's a simple and straightforward protection of people's profits at the expense of others.
Mm-hmm. Well, does that ring true to you too as well, Roger?
No.
It does not. Okay.
I don't know if anybody, you know, the only folks who have come out that are related to the alcohol against the initiative are the California Beer and Beverage Distributors Association, which is basically the truck drivers, the folks who deliver soft drinks and beer to stores and supermarkets up and down the state. But the actual alcohol industry has not weighed in one way or the other.
Well, why was cannabis?
In fact, actually, yesterday the head of Seagram's, the former head of Seagram's, Edgar Bronfman, came out on the opposite side. On the yes side of the initiative, in an op-ed with the San Jose Mercury News, so I think that's an interesting sort of little tidbit that the yes side tries to push out there, but it's not accurate and it's not the case.
Why was cannabis made illegal, Roger, in 1937?
I have no idea.
Okay, fair enough. Previous to 1937. Cannabis was kind of ubiquitous across the country because many of the nation's farmers grew it, and in fact it grew wild in many of the nation's ditch banks. So what is the difference between then and now with respect to the potency of marijuana? James?
Well, I'm not a cannabis scholar by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know about THC content. Back then, I doubt very seriously there was an active, accurate study done then on THC content, so we don't really have much to compare with.
Mm-hmm. Well, from what I've learned, and I've studied it extensively over the years, it was a different kind of marijuana, and essentially it was selected for its fiber and not its THC content. So what I heard from those who remember it and from what I have read was that it was relatively not very potent at all. And it was kind of considered a goofy thing that people did once in a while. Harry Anslinger was going out of business as an alcohol prohibitor and led the fight to make cannabis illegal. And put out I think he was behind or was associated with a movie called Reefer Madness, which of course was, it later became one of the favorite things of college students to do is to get really stoned and go watch Reefer Madness movies, right? So when cannabis became illegal, it really changed the character of cannabis. So previous to prohibition, it was ubiquitous. Afterwards, it was restricted and its use as a hemp fiber was eliminated. And thus the only thing it was really used for was an intoxicant. Fair enough comment. What do you think, Roger?
Well, I mean, it's clearly what we've seen in the studies that have been out there is that the marijuana today is much more potent than even it was 20 years ago, 20 to 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So there's no question that it's being bred to increase it, to find the most potent type of weed out there, so that it would it'll have the most different effect. And what we're seeing now up in another state, especially with medicinal marijuana being legal, is that you're getting sort of a boutiquing of marijuana strains, all of the reports that I've seen indicate that you have different strains that provide different impacts, mm-hmm. Different effects on you, but But again, it's the the industry itself is trying to trying to make itself a little bit more like the wine industry almost, in that you have sort of different
different strains,
different varieties, and different bouquets, I guess, of marijuana.
Well, Jim, would you agree with the notion that by making cannabis illegal, we have in fact increased its potency?
I can't necessarily speak against or for the potency of marijuana. What I can speak on is the fact that by making it illegal, we've not reduced it or its exposure to the populace, but we have changed who's making the money off of it.
Ah, and the money is what the show is all about. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about cannabis. What happens to the money if we make cannabis legal, as we are trying to do with Proposition 19 in California, which is all about regulating, controlling, and taxing cannabis? What will happen to the money? What do you think? This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, Roger Salazar, Jim Rigdon, and you. Right back. Do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, we're back. We're live. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. We're talking cannabis. We're talking Proposition 19. Should we legalize cannabis? Just lost our signal for a few minutes. Maybe the transmitter was smoking too much cannabis. Who knows what happened, but we're back with Roger Salazar and James Rigdon. James is with Yes on Proposition 19, and Roger Salazar is no on Proposition 19. Why yes on 19, James?
We've seen over 70 years past of cannabis prohibition with no real effect. It's still as easy as ever to get marijuana. People grow it everywhere, they sell it everywhere, they have it everywhere. And more importantly, it's easier for a kid right now to get a joint than it is for a kid to get cigarettes or alcohol. And the reason for that is drug dealers don't check ID. When we make it legal, we take the power out of those who are doing it illegally, put it in the hands of actual legitimate businesses that can be inspected, that can be regulated, that can be taxed and contribute both paying jobs to the economy, which of course contributes income taxes and people having money to spend, as well as sales taxes, excise taxes. The list goes on and on. And they get screened, kids get protected, and everybody profits.
Okay, everybody profits. Roger, what could possibly be wrong with everybody profiting from cannabis?
Well, all of those things sound wonderful, but unfortunately, Proposition 19, which claims to control, tax, and regulate marijuana, actually does none of those things. What it does do is it does legalize pot use and possession, but leaves it up to cities and counties to eventually try and set up a system from the bottom up that that authorizes sales and collects those taxes. You know, the Rand Institute and the Board of Equalization have done studies on this, and the Board of Equalization has determined that they can't figure out how much, if any, revenue will be generated as a result of Proposition 19 passing, because there's nothing in Proposition 19 that sets up a tax system. It's different from alcohol, where you have a statewide body controlling it, and you have statewide uniform statewide rules and regulations and a tax system that then counties and cities can tweak. This way, this is the reverse almost. Basically, if you're a a marijuana smoker and user, and this is fantastic for you because you can grow your own and have and use an ounce at a time and do so legally. But in terms of collecting taxes, you know, this doesn't do that. I mean, there's a very different approach from what you would have even with alcohol.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to the phone lines, folks. The phone numbers today are 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, Liberty. Go ahead. You're on the food chain.
Yes, good morning. The subject that warms the cockles of my heart. Yeah, you were inquiring about why marijuana is made illegal in the first place.
Yes.
And there was kind of a perfect storm that occurred in the 30s. Prohibition was repealed, which left Anslinger and
a lot of people out of work.
A lot of people out of work. it's also the
so resource. Wait a minute, Liberty. What's going to happen if legalization puts all of the prohibitors out of work now? Think of how many people have jobs because cannabis is illegal. What's going to happen now?
Well, I guess they might have to find another way to make a living. But actually, I mean, there are plenty of laws to enforce besides marijuana laws. So I don't think it's going to really put the cops out of business.
So what do you
think?
Yes or no on 19?
Just out of a matter of principle, I'll have to vote yes, although there are probably some flaws involved in the actual wording and writing of the law. But just as a matter of principle, I'm going to definitely vote yes.
Okay, we have one vote yes and no no's so far. Thank you very much.
Could I address the thing about the potency of marijuana?
Do.
Okay. this is often brought up as being something really bad, but what it does is when marijuana was less potent, you had to smoke a lot more of it to get high, and it's not like it's something like alcohol where you can chug a lug a bottle of vodka and overdose before you even know it, before it has time to hit. With marijuana, you smoke it slowly, and it takes effect slowly, so that you can get high on two or three puffs of it and not have to inhale all that smoke to get high.
There you go.
And then people usually quit smoking once they've attained a certain high. They just don't choose to smoke anymore.
Okay, good. Let's thank you very much for the call. Let's go to, let's see, I'm going to have to work the phones here. James, does that make sense? Potency
yeah.
is good?
Again, not being a cannabis expert or even cannabis consumer myself, I can't speak to the potency argument, but I will say he's dead on right when you talk about overdosing. There has not been person one who's been killed because they overdose on marijuana.
I've got a question because in the newspaper, local newspaper this morning, woke up, picked up the newspaper off the driveway. Here's the headline, pot use suspected in crash that kills two on highway. What do you think about that?
Well, simply, they can't. Under Proposition 19, it will still be illegal to be under the influence while driving. We don't change that. We don't make that legal, just like you can't go to your job and be stoned, or you can't get stoned on your break, just like you can't get drunk at your job or drunk on your break. The same laws are maintained. And that proves, if anything, that pot usage is being in effect already on that, so it won't change under legalization.
Okay, fair enough. Let's ask Roger what he has to say. Roger, what do you think about that headline, pot use suspected in crash that kills two on highway?
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of that. There was a crash in Chico where the only impairment was marijuana smoke recently, and we've had analysis done of what would happen if Proposition 19 were to pass. Now again, you know, this is clearly not the same issue that you have with alcohol, but there is impairment with marijuana smoking, and even the proponents of Proposition 19, don't argue that you probably shouldn't be stoned while you're driving. But I think that the clear thing, the one thing that I have to dispute is that while you have a legal limit for alcohol at 0.08. There is nothing in Proposition 19 that defines what driving under the influence of marijuana.
What stoned is, right? But, yeah. Okay, we're going to have to pick that up when we come back. So hold on for just a second, Roger. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Legalize cannabis, yes or no? Right back. Well, folks, there's $14 billion, give or take, under California's table, just waiting for us to be picking it up. All we have to do is regulate, control, and tax cannabis. But wait, before we cash in on this dream, we should pause to ask, what will happen to the money when cannabis becomes legal? And Roger, you brought up a very interesting point before we went to the break, in which you said there is no one agency that's going to decide the rules here. There's no one to say who's stoned and who's not stoned, or what percent of THC you need in your bloodstream to be stoned, or like there is with alcohol. You know, you blow into a tube and they tell you if you're drunk or not. But there's nothing set up for cannabis. Who is going to take charge of making all the laws?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we've talked about with Prop 19 is that sales, while legal, while pot use and possession and growing in your own home is going to be legal, sales and wholesale production are not authorized under the initiative until and unless cities and counties decide to authorize sales and set up a tax system. And just for comparison's sake, medicinal marijuana has been legal in California for 15 years now, and out of the 530 city and county jurisdictions up and down the state, only 36 or 38 or so have actually approved sales of medicinal marijuana. I doubt very many more are going to be approving sales of recreational marijuana unless it's just to get that tax revenue. If it's going to be legal, to use in most, it's going to be legal to use in up and down the state, but it's not going to be legal to sell. Who's gonna have the product? And it's still gonna be the same, illicit sources that you have today. As we mentioned before, the RAND Institute did an analysis of what would happen with Prop 19, and they found that the financial incentive, the profit incentive for evading taxes, potential taxes on a pound of marijuana would be greater than the financial incentive from smuggling it in from Mexico. So I think the question that you would ask at the top of this is, who's going to make the money is an important one. We don't believe that it's going to be the people of the state of California, and we don't believe it's going to be even legitimate marijuana sellers. It's still going to be that same black market, whether it's the same folks from the Mexican drug cartels or it's a new California drug cartel. It's still going to be the same drug dealers that they're going to be making the money off of this product.
Okay, let's have Jim pick that up. Jim, whoops, let's see, you're punching the wrong button there. Jim, what do you think? Who's going to make the money?
Well, first, legitimate business owners. The same stuff was talked about before during Prohibition. Then with medical marijuana in 1996, we heard the same arguments that the cartels are still going to do this and that our legislation doesn't have a statewide comprehensive permission. I find that the opposition constantly has an extreme lack of faith in the ability of cities and counties to make laws and to collect tax revenues. We've seen across the board cities and counties collect sales taxes, property taxes, mm-hmm. and so forth for themselves. Cities and counties are not neutral, non-lawmaking bodies. They take action. We had several
So how are they going to take action? I mean, I once filmed marijuana gardens for NBC News. One year we filmed 27 of them from Seattle to Santa Barbara. And we found marijuana growing everywhere, in basements, on rooftops, everywhere. How on earth is any official government going to control that?
Well, it's pretty simple. Most people, when they grow it, they're just growing it for themselves. Our 5x5 permission that we give in our legislation, I don't know
if you've ever grown, I imagine, 5x5 box of tomatoes or peppers or such, that's not a lot. That's certainly not a year's supply until the next harvest, let alone enough to go distribute to other people. Those who are going to be growing it to distribute to other people, we have the same enforcement already set up to monitor it. We have
so the police will still have the same job?
In an essential sense, yes, but not in a just arresting and breaking people. They will check for people's licenses, which can also be distributed by the state. And I grew up in Missouri. We had, in Missouri, dry counties that didn't allow sale, production, manufacture alcohol. People could still have it on their private property, though. But they couldn't have commercial sales of it. And we didn't have bootleggers running across county lines selling it. We didn't have an alcohol cartel. It wasn't like the Prohibition days. People just drove to the next county where you could buy liquor.
Okay, fair.
I think the extreme examples are exactly that, extreme and not at all what's going to happen.
Okay, let's go back to the phones and let's pick up Rory. Rory, welcome to the food chain.
Hey, Todd, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, you can put me down as a no on 19.
Okay, we're 50-50 now. One yes, one no.
I like liberty, but I disagree with them here. The other thing is the reason the guys only take two or three hits is because they lose track of time and they even forget they're getting high and they look down and the joint's gone out. That's why they only take two or three hits. And I know that from personal experience. The other thing is, 30 years ago when I was, well, maybe more now, a little over 30 years ago when I was smoking pot every day trying to destroy my life, you know, we had Thai stick that came in from overseas that was opiated. So there's all kinds of shenanigans.
But what don't you think people would just grow their own, Rory?
Yeah, but the thing is, Michael, I've maintained you cannot make a comparison to pot and alcohol. You're not smoking pot for the fine accompaniment to a meal. You're not smoking it for the fine flavor.
Well, okay, didn't people smoke pot to get munchies?
Yeah.
And then go to the convenience store and eat all kinds of weird things?
Look, one time I had buddies that were hungry and they were so stoned, I put cat food on crackers, fed it to them. The guy thought it was cold bean dip. Now, come on. I mean, what is this? This is good. Is this cold bean dip?
You raised something that really concerns me more than anything, more than the money, more than anything, that cannabis will be used in the sense that Aldous Huxley brought up in Brave New World, and it will become a soma. And if somebody gets a hold of regulating it, they will, you know, force some kind of strains that leave you just stupefied and sitting in front of a TV for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
that's what frightens me about.
And look, Michael, we got Sinsemilla out of Humboldt County in the late 70s. I'm not kidding. Two, three hits the most from a bong, and you were hallucinating. You heard things. This stuff is bad news, and I can't think of a quicker way for young people to destroy their lives. And what kind of a message do we send to all the kids growing up that this is now okay? It's just like alcohol.
Okay, I have one quick question for you, Rory.
And I have one other question.
Okay.
That maybe our guest can answer. Who came up with this $14 billion value on California pot?
I just saw it in the paper.
Yeah, how? How do we know? Well, that's a huge number.
Fair enough. Rory, let me ask you this before we go to a break here. Did you inhale?
Oh, all the time. I blew my eardrums out inhaling and trying to hold it in.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyhow.
But we will pick that question up when we come back from the break. Thank you so much for calling. And we'll pick up the rest of our callers as well. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. How big is the cannabis industry in California? Is it, as they say, $14 billion, give or take? That's a lot of money to be leaving on the table. How can we get our hands on it? All we have to do is regulate it, control it, and tax it, and all that money will be ours. Think of it. Yes or no on Proposition 19. What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson, your host for the Food Chain, right back. Well, $14 billion. Where did they come up with that crazy number anyway? I don't have the slightest idea. Maybe James Bigden does, who is Yes on 19. James, is it really a $14 billion a year? $14 billion? Where did they come up with that number?
The California Legislative Analyst's Office came up with that estimate. That's $14 billion just in marijuana sales. That's never binding all the other related industry that's connected to this.
Just sales?
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's huge. Let's ask Roger Salazar also if he concurs with that number. Roger, what do you think?
Yeah, no, that is the number that was good that came the LAO came up with. And again, it's hard to tell exactly what the number is. Again, because it's not, you know, we're not just talking about they're not just talking about legal sales happened under with medicinal marijuana right now. They're talking about all illegal sales, all the illegal transactions up and down the state, just the illegal product that you have, you know, for even the stuff that folks grow. I do sort of want to make the point again, as we sort of talk about this, that for those who want to grow their own marijuana, that marijuana is not going to be taxed. So again, you know, every time you sort of keep talking about all these little different pockets,
right?
Whether it's the stuff that you grow on your own, you know, the cities and counties that don't regulate the marijuana that gets sold in those areas illegally, you know, the people who are going to be selling marijuana at a lower price to avoid those taxes and therefore make their own profit are going to be selling it illegally. There's a lot of these pockets that are going to go away from state potential state revenue.
Let me ask you this: do you think there's going to be any money left in cannabis? If everybody is growing pot everywhere all the time?
I think there's going to be plenty of money in cannabis. I just don't think it's going to be going to the cities or the counties or the state. That's the problem that we have. Again, with this bottom-up approach, with the let's legalize use and then leave it up to the cities and counties to regulate, you don't get the type of benefit that that the folks who are proponents of Proposition 19 claim that they will. They claim it's $1.4 billion, but they claim it's $1.4 billion, but that's a tax on that $14 billion number, which again, you're not going to get. And again, real quickly, it's not just me that's saying this stuff. The cities and counties themselves, the association, the League of Cities, and the Association of State Counties. Have both said we can't do this, and have endorsed the no side of Proposition 19.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go quickly back to Jim. Jim, the government's not going to get the money. True?
Not at all. Again, the same stuff was said when Prohibition was repealed, or when people were trying to repeal Prohibition, that we don't have any way to organize it. We don't have the infrastructure, especially during the bad economy in the 1930s, just like we have a challenged economy right now.
So you're saying the government will get the money?
I'm saying that there will be legitimate jobs created, there will be a very legitimate industry created, regulations are already in place. There are several cities and counties across the state that have already instituted regulations for when this legislation passes. And
okay, so they will get the money. Let's see what our callers have to say here. Go quickly to Bob. Bob? Yes or no on Proposition 19? What do you think?
Yes on 19, without question. It's an admirable attempt to lift the veil. We ought to let it happen and let it work its way through the courts. It cannot be...
Or clear the smoke. How about instead of lifting the veil, clear the smoke?
I go with that. It cannot be any more hypocritical than it is. And I think that the major opposition emanates from entrenched enforcement bureaucracy interests at this point.
Which is kind of where it started, right, Harry Anslinger?
Absolutely. You look at it, and you've got this going on for several generations now. It's in their interest to block looking at this issue with an honest eye. And, you know, alcohol, when alcohol was re-legalized, they did not have the under-the-influence metrics that we have now, right, 0.08 and all this kind of stuff. This will happen. We have to do things in steps, certainly by allowing Prop 19 to pass.
Do you think the government will get all that money? Or will everybody just grow pot everywhere and there will
both,
be no way of...
Both, Michael. Both. I mean, you can grow... You can legally have beer for your own
consumption. What about tobacco? Can I go out and grow my own tobacco?
I believe you can for your own purposes, which is why seeds are controlled. Your guess would know.
Oh, seeds are controlled.
Now, I want to ask Mr. Salazar, if you don't like Prop 19, are you going to put forth an initiative that qualifies according to your perspective?
Okay.
And if not, why not?
Okay, let's ask him. Thanks for the call, Bob.
Thank you.
Roger, did you hear that question? Oops, I got to press this button. I'm button pushy today. Roger, did you hear that question?
I did. Was I talking and nobody was hearing me here? I heard the question, and there are pieces of legislation that are out there. For example, the Assemblymember Tom Amiano has a bill that has sort of the mechanism that would be a lot more preferable to some of our folks, which is a statewide regulatory system. But again, that's not this initiative, and we're dealing with this initiative right now, and this initiative is just, you know, has too many.
So you're really not against legalization?
Well, we have a very broad coalition, and there are some folks in our initiative who are opposed to legalization just on its principle, and then there are other folks who would think, well, if we could do this the right way, I'm of the latter.
If you could just get the right wording,
I think law enforcement feels the same way. If they had a uniform set of, and again, I take issue with the gentleman's point that that law enforcement somehow wants to keep this status quo. What they want is a uniform set of laws up and down the state, so they don't have to jump from jurisdiction to jurisdiction.
What's wrong with a little chaos? Every city in America has its own laws. This is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. We will be right back with Roger Salazar and James Rigdon, proponents and opponents of Yes on 19. What are you? Do you in favor legalization of marijuana or do you not? 800-624-2665, 831-4790, right back. Well, yes or no? Should we or should we not legalize cannabis? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-4790. Michael Olson here on the Food Chain with James Rigdon, who says yes, we should legalize it, and Roger Salazar, who says no, we should not vote for Proposition 19. And let's go through some phone callers really quickly here. Let's start with Dick. Dick, welcome to the Food Chain.
Yeah, hi, you guys. Very good show today. I want to vote no on 19 for reasons that your guest, who's also against it, is getting real close to what I believe would happen. First of all, I think our war on drugs and the border from Mexico move up to around the borders of California, and the tobacco and the big cartel are just going to get together and. They'll pay the tax. I mean, the government always gets their tax. So his argument was pretty close on that. They're just going to be, going out the back door of the warehouse and driving it to the other 49 states. So it's going to be like the Wild West if we pass it in California.
Well, isn't it the Wild West already? I mean, if you go out there into the woods, it gets plenty wild. Well, Dick, thank you for the call. That's a no on 19. Let's go to Nick. Nick, what do you think?
I'm a yes.
You're a yes. Okay.
And I'm a yes because even though we're in an environment that's partially lethal, a last man standing mentality, we might just clean it up when we wake up to it. I don't think it's the marijuana that crashed. It's that we had to wake up through some metabolisms that we've been put to sleep in. I'm basically called because I believe there's a whole industry in seeds and cafes, and when the marijuana this initiative reached the ballot, that I believe they withdrew the efforts to put a hemp initiative on, because there's no need for a hemp initiative when marijuana is legal.
That's a heck of a good question, Nick, and I want to thank you for asking it. Can we have cannabis and hemp at the same time? Is that possible? Let's go to Peter. Peter, yes or no on 19?
Oh, hell yes. Not just yes. Hell yes.
Okay.
Well, I really don't want to hear from, I don't want to hear from people that weren't born and raised in this state with any kind of comments, because this is a California issue. And again, I want to ask the question, what costs more, incarceration or legalization? That's an easy one. Incarceration in California is $40,000 a year. And again, I want to drug test everybody in this group that disagrees with the legalization of marijuana, because what we're going to find out is we got a whole lot of people who are high on prescription drugs standing on their pill podium, casting their dour gaze down on marijuana. And, Michael, last thing I want to leave you with, don't leave out William Randolph Hearst, the paper baron that couldn't stand to see the millions of acres of forest that he put his money into go to waste when hemp would have made better paper. And don't leave out Dow Chemical.
Okay, okay, Peter, got your message. Thank you very much. Okay, I've got to say a big thank you to Jim. Jim, thank you for joining us. Roger, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. I don't know how to vote on this. That's really strange. I don't know whether to vote yes or no on 19. What do you think out there? How should I vote? Please call, please tell me. You can do so on the forums at metrofarm.com. I'll read what you have to say and respond. And maybe somebody can tell me what to do in a way that will convince me to do that. Thank you all so much for joining us. James Rigdon, yes on 19. Roger Salazar, no on 19. And, of course, you. Thank you all so much for joining us. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio on the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.